Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday. Since we last spoke on Monday, there's been quite a few things that have been happening politically in the Cowboy State. Yesterday, I took part in a debate sponsored by the Republican Women of Sheridan County. The debate was over Convention of States. It was John Birch Society's Leah Southwell and myself, of course, opposing any ridiculous Convention of States on the one side, and on the other, Senator Beau Biteman and Dana Prater from Convention of States Action. While I didn't count how many people were in attendance, the room was filled at the Ramada Inn in Sheridan. At the risk of being a tad immodest, which of course I would never do, we laid the smackdown on them. On Saturday's program, I'll play the entire debate for you so you can listen to it for yourself. I actually quite enjoyed the format. Here's how it went. Each side had a 10-minute opening statement. Ours was delivered by Leah Southwell. That was followed by 30 minutes or so of questions from the crowd. Somebody from the crowd would ask a question, and then each side would have 2 minutes to answer. After that, each side got a 3-minute summation period. I want to personally thank Senator Beau Biteman. It was a very cordial debate. In fact, I don't think that it could have gone any better than it did. The crowd was into it the whole way through, and at the end, we all shook hands. So like I said, Saturday I'll play the whole debate for you. I'm pretty sure that you'll enjoy it. On Monday's program, I played for you the speech given by Coy Griffin, a convicted January 6th trespasser. Notice I said trespasser, not insurrectionist, because he hasn't been convicted of insurrection. We'll get to that a little bit later in the program. But on Monday's show, I played you his comments in their entirety, unedited, no breaks in between, the whole thing all the way through, so you could hear exactly what he said. On today's program, we're going to do just a couple of things. First, I want to take a look at some of the comments that Coy Griffin had in Gillette last Saturday. Look at them in detail. And secondly, we're going to take a look at the one article that was posted about the event. None other than Trotsky Wolfson at the Cow Pie. You would think that when one of the most prominent people that was prosecuted for the events of January 6th visits Wyoming, that would merit a bigger response than one solitary article. I use the word prominent in quotation marks because most people have no idea who Coy Griffin is. But at the time, right after January 6th, Coy Griffin was almost front page news for several outlets across the country. He was one of the very first people that was prosecuted for the events of January 6th. Now, let's talk about that for just a second. Newspapers and the media like to say that all of those people that have been convicted for their involvement in January 6th are convicted insurrectionists. Insurrection is a crime that is listed in the United States Code. It is 18 U.S. Code 2383, rebellion or insurrection. And I quote, "Whoever incites, sets on foot, assists, or engages in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States or the laws thereof, or gives aid or comfort thereto, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States." End quote. It's a crime, and to be guilty of it, you have to be charged and convicted. Neither of those things happened to Coy Griffin, nor to many of the people who have been charged for various offenses concerning January 6th. But that hasn't stopped the media from claiming that all of them have been convicted of insurrection. So let's just be very clear about the language we're using here, because words mean things.
2 plus 2 is 4, not 5 if you want it to be 5. And this is not to be discriminatory. This is to stand up for language. Words mean things.
The headline for a December 21st article written by Trotsky Wolfson reads, Campbell County GOP to host convicted January 6th protester as a guest speaker. Coy Griffin has not been convicted of protesting, nor has anyone else in the United States. Protesting is not a crime. He was convicted of trespassing on restricted grounds, a misdemeanor. For that, he spent 3 weeks in a D.C. jail, 9 days of which was in solitary confinement. Trotsky writes in his December 21st article, quote, Griffin was a New Mexico County Commissioner at the time he attended the January 6th event, where he climbed over barriers and walls to gain access to a restricted area of the grounds, end quote. Since Saturday, I have spent hours on the internet looking for evidence that Coy Griffin committed a crime. The only picture I found was one of him appearing to climb up what seems to be some sort of bicycle-type barrier. Other than that, there's no evidence that Coy Griffin climbed over a wall or pushed his way through a crowd or anything like that. There is that one picture. The second part of that paragraph reads, quote, later that month, during a county commissioner meeting, Griffin announced that he would go back to Washington, D.C. with firearms for President Joe Biden's inauguration. When he did just that, he was arrested and charged with trespassing and disorderly conduct. End quote. The way that Trotsky wrote that, it leads you to believe that his arrest had something to do with firearms. It didn't. Here's what Coy Griffin said on January 14th of 2021 during that Otero County, New Mexico County Commissioner meeting.
Again, I think I'm going to leave either tonight or tomorrow. I've got a 357 Henry big boy rifle, lever action that I've got in the trunk of my car. And I've got a 357 single action revolver that Colt Ruger Vaquero that I'll have underneath the front seat on my right side. And I will embrace my Second Amendment. I will keep my right to bear arms. My vehicle is an extension of my home in regards to the constitutional law. And I have a right to have those firearms in my car because...
I'm glad he stopped short of reading off the serial numbers on his guns. With respect to the timeline, those comments were made on January 14th, 8 days after the events of January 6th. Notice in those comments, he doesn't make any threats. He said he's going to take his guns with him to Washington, D.C., and they're going to stay in his car. But I really don't think that that was the smartest thing to say. When you say words like inauguration and firearms, there's a pretty good likelihood that you might get a visit from the Alphabet Gang. This is akin to the dumb idea of saying the word bomb when you're standing inside of an airport. It's kind of dumb, but that doesn't mean that it's a crime in any way. Legally, that didn't have anything to do with the crime he was charged and convicted of. However, it may have put him even more on the radar than he was before. On the morning of January 6th, I was sitting at the original Cowboy State Politics studio watching everything unfold on Fox News, and the camera did pick up Coy Griffin standing on the terrace with a bullhorn. I specifically remember that whomever was on the air pointed out that Coy Griffin was praying through that bullhorn. Being the co-founder of Cowboys for Trump, Coy Griffin was kind of a public figure. He is one of the guys that rode a horse through Washington, D.C. when Trump was inaugurated. So there's no doubt that the FBI and the rest of the Alphabet Squad had him squarely in their sights. They were looking for him, and he already said that he was going to attend Joe Biden's inauguration. So when he went through a checkpoint, perfect opportunity to arrest him. But what there wasn't a charge of is him being in possession of a firearm, or any other weapon for that matter. I'll get back to this in just a second, but there's one thing I want to point out to you about his comments during that county commissioner meeting. Here's the soundbite from a news report that was used repeatedly in the media and during the lead-up to his prosecution and his eventual conviction. Listen carefully to it. Pay no attention to the dramatic music that was added by whichever media outlet put this thing together. Just listen closely to it.
I'm going to go back to Washington, D.C. I'm going to be there on January 20th. I've got a 357 Henry big boy rifle, lever action, that I've got in the trunk of my car, and I've got a 357 single action revolver, the Colt Ruger Vaquero, that I'll have underneath the front seat on my right side. And I will embrace my Second Amendment.
Oh, sounds pretty ominous, doesn't it? Here's the original recording that I made from that county commissioner meeting.
This is one that we cannot, the American people who still believe in freedom, that's the reason why this is one that we just cannot lose. If we lose, we'll never have another fair election. And if we lose, the liberals will have us in masks. Anytime they want to say mask, everybody will just be in one. And that will be the America that we move forward in. So, again, I think I'm going to leave either tonight or tomorrow. I've got a 357 Henry big boy rifle, lever action, that I've got in the trunk of my car. And I've got a 357 single action revolver, that Colt Ruger Vaquero, that I'll have underneath the front seat on my right side. And I will embrace my Second Amendment. I will keep my right to bear arms. My vehicle is an extension of my home in regards to the constitutional law, and I have a right to have those firearms in my car, because as everybody here that works in the county, I can see it on your faces, and it breaks my heart how tired you are from the harassment.
Notice the difference? Let me play the first soundbite for you again.
I'm going to go back to Washington, D.C. I'm going to be there on January 20th. I've got a 357 Henry big boy rifle, lever action, that I've got in the trunk of my car. And I've got a 357 single action revolver, the Colt Ruger Vaquero, that I'll have underneath the front seat on my right side. And I will embrace my Second Amendment.
The soundbite that was used by the media was edited, and it certainly wasn't played in context. And it might help you to know that the version that was used by the media was produced by Al Jazeera. There's a link at cowboystatepolitics.com to the YouTube video, and if you scroll down, you can see they're the ones that edited the video and then put it out for all to see. Al Jazeera, as in the mouthpiece of Al-Qaeda. I'm not saying that there's any link whatsoever to Coy Griffin's case and Al Jazeera. What I am telling you, however, is consider the source. We'll get back to the program in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a giant roping arena or maybe a huge warehouse for your business, Nick and Jesse are the two guys you need to talk to. Call them at 307-674-2532. They are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So if you're looking for a metal building, give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. My friends, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. Gun of the Week time from Gunrunner Auctions. The gun of the week is lot number 47. It's a Winchester 88-308 lever action with a 22-inch barrel. It's got a tight action. The bluing is 98% and really nice. The wood stock shows some varnish wear on the carry area and some hunting marks on the buttstock. It's got a basket weaver maple leaf pressed checkering and one box magazine. It's a beautiful firearm, and if you're looking for one to just go knock down an elk or a deer, this is the perfect rifle for that job. And it could be yours. It's lot number 47 at thegunrunner.com. Cowboy State Politics is also brought to you by the Buffalo Wool Company. It's January, and you know what happens in Wyoming this time of year. The temperatures drop to below freezing, and you definitely want to take care of your feet. The warmest socks that I have ever worn are made by the Buffalo Wool Company. Go to their website, thebuffalowoolco, and get you a pair. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed. And if you need something else for the other end of your body, go to New Trend Hats. They have a wide selection of hats for both men and women, and you're sure to find something to keep those ears of yours nice and toasty warm. Again, go to the website, newtrendhats.com. If you're interested in buying or selling property, the best real estate agent that you could call is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. She's the best at what she does. She's lived in Jackson for over 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market. Last year, she sold about $25 million worth of property. So if you're looking to sell a piece of property or if you're interested in purchasing one, give Rebecca a call. Again, her phone number is 307-699-3519. And now, back to the program. Back to Mr. Griffin's arrest for just a second. I already pointed out that he wasn't charged with carrying any sort of weapon. If he had been, he'd still be in jail. The truth is, he didn't even have a pocket knife on him when they arrested him at the inauguration. And it's pretty clear, from his comments at least, that he didn't really have any idea why he was being arrested. Before I play this next soundbite for you, it's human nature to portray ourselves in the best possible light. As my friend Ken Pendergraft is fond of saying, is we tend to judge ourselves by our intentions, and we judge everybody else by their actions. On that point, here's what he said in Gillette.
Whenever the FBI arrested me on January the 17th and they were putting handcuffs on me, and I turned to one of those FBI agents and I said, "What am I getting arrested for?" He said, "You have a warrant." And I promise you, whenever he told me that I had a warrant, I looked at him and I went, "Is this for an unpaid ticket out of New Jersey?" Because that's like the only thing I could think about, because I got a ticket in New Jersey that was an affair, and I just, and anyways, I thought, well, maybe that's why. But no, it was because of my participation on January the 6th.
Only based upon what Mr. Griffin said in Gillette, he clearly didn't know that there was any reason to arrest him whatsoever. He went on to say that nobody told him it was a restricted area and that he hadn't seen any signs indicating as such, and there was no way that he would have known that he was on restrictive grounds. Here's that segment.
I never was one time on that day told that I couldn't be where I was at. I never saw a sign that said stay out. I never saw anything of the sort, and I promise before you right now, I did not know that was a restricted area.
Being absolutely fair as I possibly can be, maybe the reason he didn't know it was a restricted area is all of the barriers had already been knocked down. He clearly said in his comments that there were hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people on the Capitol grounds. So it would be pretty hard to determine what was restricted and what wasn't. But there's that one picture of Coy Griffin standing on what appears to be a bicycle barrier. That's the one that's been flashed all over the media and was used to say that Coy Griffin knew where he was and knew what he was doing. I'll make sure that that picture is on the website as well so that you can look at it for yourself. Mr. Griffin is appealing that conviction, so we won't know for a while as to whether or not that issue has been resolved. And at the very least, he seemed pretty convinced that he didn't think he did anything wrong. After the event, I had a chance to speak with Mr. Griffin for a few moments. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get the conversation recorded. But when I asked him if he had said that he was taking firearms back with him to Washington, D.C., his exact words to me were, "Well, I released a Facebook video of that, and I said that we could have a Second Amendment rally on the Capitol steps." There is the video from the county commissioner's meeting, which he very clearly says that he's taking two of his firearms with him back to the inauguration. So there's no point in denying that. I was able to find part of the video that I think he was referring to during our conversation. There are some potentially problematic comments in it. Here's that audio.
We could have a Second Amendment rally on those same steps that we had that rally yesterday. You know, and if we do, then it's going to be a sad day because there's going to be blood running out of that building.
That's the only piece of the video that I could find. I'm pretty sure the rest of it has been scrubbed from the internet, Facebook, some other social media, or something like that. But if it was only that piece that you could find, you would say, yeah, there are some troubling things that Coy Griffin had said. But even so, there isn't a single crime in what you just heard. Not one. But nonetheless, that soundbite was used at President Trump's second impeachment hearing. And the only reason that I played that soundbite for you is to give you as complete as possible of a picture of who Mr. Coy Griffin is. And I've already proven to you that some of the soundbites that have been used against Mr. Griffin have been edited by less than reputable sources. But what about the media in Wyoming? About an hour and a half after Mr. Griffin finished speaking, Trotsky Wolfson published an article on the Cowpie entitled, "Convicted January 6th Participant Says Wyoming Counties Must Refuse to Okay Bogus Elections." In it, he repeats the mischaracterization of Mr. Griffin's actions, and I quote, "After refusing to certify Biden's election win in his county, he later announced that he would be armed when he went back to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. When he did just that, he was arrested and charged with trespassing and disorderly conduct." End quote. Words mean things. Mr. Griffin didn't say that he would be armed. He said that he would have firearms in his vehicle. So I guess you could argue maybe I'm playing semantic games. But words mean things, and there is a difference between having firearms in your vehicle and being armed. And Trotsky is still implying that having guns was the reason that Coy Griffin was arrested. That had absolutely nothing to do with it, aside from maybe drawing more attention Mr. Griffin's way. Trotsky goes on, and I quote, "He was released from jail about 2 weeks later." No, he was released 3 weeks later. "Was convicted for trespassing, but acquitted on a disorderly conduct charge. As part of his sentence, Griffin was given 14 days in jail, already served, and 60 days of community service and a $3,000 fine. No, Mr. Griffin was given 60 hours of community service. And as if I haven't pointed out Trotsky's lack of caring about specifics and details, there's this one, quote, "Official reports of the event say 5 people died as a result of the riot and 138 police officers were hurt. There was only one person that died as a result of the riot, and her name is Ashley Babbitt, and she was shot by a Capitol police officer while she was unarmed and posed no threat to the officer that shot her." The newly released Capitol surveillance footage proves it, and Trotsky Wolfson knows that. One more thing before I let you go. Coy Griffin went into great detail about his treatment while he was incarcerated in Washington, D.C. I wanted to just play you that soundbite about the conditions inside that jail.
"But the abuse of the Washington, D.C. gulag, for those of y'all, I hope that you've read up on what's going on. I hope that you're educated on how terrible that place because I'll tell you what, every story that you've probably read about that place is probably true. And it breaks my heart and it terrifies me to say it. My cell in that place, the one wall, there was a real small little window that you could see out of. But the window would leak condensation at night on the inside, and it was just a block cell, a cinder block. So that condensation would build and it would run down the inside of that cell, and that whole wall was just black mold. It was solid black mold inside of that cell. The sink that I had in my cell would run brown water. That's what we had. That was the only water we had to drink, was what came out of the tap. And whenever they restricted me from showering, I could use that sink to wash my face and my hands for a little while until the sewer in that whole prison backed up and started coming up through the drains and stuff. And then I couldn't even use that. I hate to go into so many of the specifics and the details of it, but I just want you to know that the abuse and the torture of the United States government right now, today, against American people is real."
It's not just Coy Griffin that has described the conditions in these D.C. jails. He's not the only one that has said the treatment of the prisoners that are accused of different acts during January 6th is absolutely horrible. There are many, many people that are still in jail for their involvement in January 6th that have not had a trial, and they are being made to suffer the same consequences that Coy Griffin went through. When it's all said and done, trespassing is a minor misdemeanor. Yet some of these people have been in prison for 3 years. Coy Griffin himself was made to suffer 9 days of solitary confinement for an act that in Wyoming would most likely just get you a ticket, and you probably wouldn't even spend a night in jail. In preparing for this episode, I spoke to a couple different attorneys, and both of them told me that in order to be guilty of trespassing, there are two conditions that have to be met. First, you have to know that you are trespassing, and second, that you need to be warned. In other words, hey, get off my property. And even so, if you are guilty of trespassing in Wyoming, it's a ticket and probably a small fine, even though the statutory potential penalty is not more than 6 months in jail and not more than a $750 fine or both of those. But even if you were given the maximum penalty for trespassing in Wyoming, there's a big difference between 6 months in the county jail and 3 years in it. At the end of all of it, Coy Griffin was removed as a county commissioner in Otero County, not because he had violated a criminal law, but because he was sued, and a Democrat judge agreed that he was guilty of insurrection. He's not been convicted of insurrection, and he's not even been charged of it. It was a partisan judge that decided that for him. That, too, is pending appeal. My intent in doing this episode was to give you a fuller picture of what Coy Griffin was accused of, the punishment he was given, and why, but also to show you that there were other extraneous circumstances that may have contributed to it. His own comments, for one. None of those should have been used against him, but they undoubtedly were, and they were used against President Trump. One more interesting note on this whole matter. To my knowledge, there's only been one article that's been published about Coy Griffin's appearance at the complex in Gillette on January 6th, and that is the Trotsky-Wolfson article. There isn't anything in the Pravda on the Platte, and even though Wildfile was there, they haven't published an article yet. That'll do it for today's installment of the program. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again during Weekend Update on Saturday. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.